Hey guys, this is Teresa Lee.
Hi, it's Eli. Welcome to Pod is a Woman, season two, technically.
Yeah, we're in season two because we're on Thank You Next. Ari keeps giving us gifts.
Giving us?
I'm very tired.
She does give us gifts too, though, and memes.
She gives us gifts, yes, she does.
So who do we have today?
We have Dwayne Perkins. What's up? Stand-up comedian, also dancer.
Oh, yes.
That we just learned.
I dabbled. Yeah.
As do we. We're dabblers. and today we're talking about NASA.
Yes.
One of my favorite songs on the album. Yeah, big time.
Fantastic.
But before we get into that, our first question that we always ask. Now, I already know this from when we sent the email to you, but you are a fan.
I am. I'm an OG fan. I was a fan of her since 13, the musical.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I used to watch some of her stuff on YouTube when she was on Victoria's.
Yeah.
And then I met her once in New York on the street, and I was like, hey, girl. And she literally just talked. Like, it was, I remember it was the 4th of July, and she was with her mother. And she just talked to me on a corner and was like, this is my mother. And we just like talked.
This was while she was still in Victoria's?
Yeah, like this is when she had like that like bright red hair.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's so dope. And she was like, all right, nice to meet you. Bye. and it was just like
so
such
cool.
A normal interaction. Yeah, and I listened to all of her albums. She's very talented.
Yeah, I agree. I think, what's always been, we've talked about it a few times, like her being on Victorious and Sam and Cat and stuff, and it's really interesting. I always think back to when Victorious was on, and I remember that, like in the credits, she's like 8th listed or something. She's not...
Yeah, no, she... Victoria Justice was like the star.
Yeah.
And she was just like, oh, that's that dumb girl. Cause she played a very dumb
she
character.
Did, yeah.
Yeah.
And but I knew, I was like, I know who the real talent is.
It's also
is.
Kind of crazy that Ariana's still friends with like 90% of the cast and Victoria Justice is not one of the people in that group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder what that
that's like that's a spill the tea situation. 100%. Because I was just like, whoa, something must have happened for... I mean, I know what happened. I'm sure, you know, they were like, okay, let's give her own show, a spinoff from this that seemed to have done a lot better than Victoria's did.
I mean, I feel like nothing would make a person more mad than if they're a star of a show and someone else is clearly like a star. And
yeah.
You're like, why are you doing this to me?
Yeah.
The other one that doesn't get brought up, I remember I went down a rabbit hole of this after the Thank You Next video where she was like always tweeting to other people from the cast and stuff who were like, thank you for your support. And they were featured in the video. And I remember that one other guy, the guy who played like the hunk to Victoria Justice's, like, you know, will they, won't they? I forget his name, but he's a very good, very handsome gentleman now. And he's kind of doing his own thing.
Hmm.
He acts and is in a lot of stuff. I think his name's Avon.
Okay.
I could be wrong about that, but he...
Is he the guy that's on that Starz show?
I think, yes, yeah. Now Apocalypse. That's he's on.
Oh,
yeah. He's doing his own thing.
Yeah,
he is. Yeah, and he, but I feel like he made a choice to like go, he's doing a Greg Araki TV show, you know what I mean? Where he's like, you know what, I'm going to go do art. You guys enjoy the pop star shit.
I don't know his name, but there was like the one black guy that was on that show.
That's right, yeah.
I tested for a pilot this pilot season, and it was me, him, and this other guy.
Oh,
and
man.
I was just like, I want to talk about Victoria. Because it was funny, because it was for like this like straight character who was like the neighbor next door. So it was me and a bunch of straight men.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, why doesn't anyone want to talk about Victoria? Yeah, he was very nice.
He was very nice as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also feel like, so wait, one question for you then. If you, so that was back when she was still doing Victorious and Sam and Cat. So when she first came out with her first album, were you like immediately floored by it?
I was like, oh, wow. She's like really singing. Yeah, I really liked, what was that? Yours Truly?
Yours Truly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a very good
pipes.
Album. Yes.
That was the announcement album.
Yeah, I mean, Honeymoon Avenue is still one of my like favorite songs that she's done.
Yeah, that's a really good song.
Fantastic. Yeah, but I liked it then, and then she came out with her next album, and I was like, oh, this is more R&B.
Mm-hmm.
This is dope. Mm-hmm. It has some like dope features, and I was like, oh, this is good.
Yeah, it is crazy that second album is like The Weeknd, right before he really blew up, Childish Gambino.
Isn't Future on that album?
Future's on the next one. He's on Dangerous Woman. Mm-hmm. But no, someone else is on there too that I'm missing. Oh, Big Sean again. And I didn't realize.
Is that how they met?
No, he featured on a song on her first album. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All of her features, I guess the ones that she was of the two guys she dated, not counting that guy from The Wanted. I think they all dated after those features, is kind of wild because usually it's a story.
They fell in love with her in the studio.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. A lot of the stuff's recorded, like she records her parts in Sunset Studios or wherever, or Sunset Sound. And like these guys, if they're in New York, they'll just record the track there. They sometimes never even meet.
Yeah, they never meet.
From what I heard, I think when Iggy Azalea did that part on Problem, I don't think they recorded it together. I think the first time they met was when they performed it live together.
I remember when Big Sean had that quote that he said, "My girl has $1 million pussy." I thought that was funny.
What song was that in?
I don't know. I think it was a song. I'm like, did he just say that? That'd be funny. I'm not sure. But then there was a headline about it, and that's why I found out about it.
And then he had a whole song about
it. A compliment. Yeah, I would be very complimented if someone
did
that.
It is. And it's also like a...
so much money. Yeah.
It's also like... It's funny also that he had that as a compliment to her, and then also like a whole track that's like Naya Rivera, "Stay the Fuck Away From Me."
Oh, yeah. I don't fuck with you.
Yeah. That is... What an anthem. What an anthem.
I love that song.
I do too, yeah. So when she became more R&B, we've had a lot of discussions about this on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about where she's at now? Because there's obviously a lot of arguments in regards to appropriation, not just with Seven Rings, but like even on Monopoly, it kind of came up.
Yeah, I think she should pull back.
Yeah. Oh my God, the emoji that you showed me was so funny.
Oh, yeah, there was somebody posted something on Twitter that went viral where they were like, they put pop stars by emojis and the evolutions of their hair. So it was like Lady Gaga, and you'd see the different haircuts through emojis. One for Britney Spears, and you know, the one in the middle is black hair because of that during Blackout. And then it was like Ariana Grande, and it just stayed blonde, and then the actual emoji became blacker.
Yeah. That's very funny. But yeah, like I don't know what she's going through personally. Like, I get that like trap music's dope.
Yeah,
but I do think like coming through her, it feels weird. It's like, this is a little.
It does, and you know what's the weird thing that bothered me? Do you know at the end of Monopoly where she says, "Who the fuck is Cletus?"
Yeah,
she says that in a way that I'm like, that tone is like clearly trying to be very like clearly not a white woman.
Yeah, also, like, know who Cletus is. Like, know that reference. Like,
yeah, yeah. Well, exactly. Right. Yeah. Oh, my God. That is like such a good point.
She's playing up that she's like, kind of like that dumb blonde. Like, oh, my God. What are you talking about? Oh, yeah. You're so weird. Like, that kind of thing. But it's like, nutty, like, and then it's like, Nutty Professor. Oh, my. Yeah. And then she's like, you're so weird.
And then she goes, and then she ends the song by just going, yeah. Yeah. Ooh, that was even more layered than my gut reaction to it.
Oh, I heard something. I actually, this Spotify Discover showed me this, but I was listening to Chinese hip hop this weekend because they have a playlist that's like rising Chinese hip hop stars. And I was like, oh, I'm so curious. Like what music's coming out now? This is like Taiwanese and Chinese from both countries, if you guys are keeping track of the, or if you're of the camp that they're the same, whatever.
There's only one. I don't even know if he's Chinese or Japanese. So I'm going to just say Asian rapper. Uh-huh. Jin, that was.
I know him. He has done stand-up comedy.
No way.
That is all I will say.
I can't wait to hit stop now so I can hear more about this. He's in.
No, he's great. He's a pioneer for Chinese people in hip hop for sure.
He's an incredible freestyler.
Yes, really
but
great.
When he has to actually put out tracks, it's really weird that I'm like, why don't you just freestyle in the studio then? Because this is not working.
Yeah, I mean, but talking about appropriation, I mean, he was like making stuff at a time when like there were just really nobody else, no other Chinese artists, so. Then there's that conversation of like he was kind of adapting, but then there's some stuff when you look back and you're like, ooh, like you know what I mean? Like there's definitely like a code switching, and you're like, but the reason I brought the Chinese hip hop stars now up is because I was listening to the playlist and a lot of the music, I was really impressed by it because there's stuff that like it's just a higher production value than I have heard in the past of like listening to Asian music, because usually there's a style that's like more Chinese pop. But this really, like, if I just listened to it and wasn't listening to the lyrics, it sounds like, I mean, I'm sure these producers all travel now, but it really just sounds like something I'd hear on the radio here, top 40. And some of the trap beats, I'm like, oh, this is really dope. But also what I thought was cool, and I'm like, I haven't researched enough, so I hope that my first instinct is right, but who knows what these people are like. What I thought was cool is it really felt like true to, like, they were singing in Chinese and, like, would sometimes go to English, but they, you know, had their Chinese accents. It felt like ownership of, like, their culture while also, you know, taking tribute and taking elements of trap. And it seemed like, to me, like, the right way to do that, like, to add to the conversation. Because it wasn't like, yeah, we're going to suddenly switch to, like, what we think, you know, hip-hop should sound like and change our accents. It didn't sound like that. It was, like, straight up, like, kind of a nerdy Chinese accent, yeah, singing in hip-hop. I mean, singing this hip-hop song,
yeah,
with the beat without feeling like I need to now, like, play up being black or something. And I was, yeah, like, this is really cool because it's, like, yeah, there is a way to make hip-hop because it's not, like, the conversation isn't, are you allowed to do it? It's how can you add to this conversation and elevate and, like, understand the culture and, like, history while not, like, erasing and taking it for yourself, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's something that is happening more often just around the board in arts, yeah, generally.
Oh, yeah.
I think that people have better language to be like, oh, let's, mm-hmm, discuss this, like, switching of cultures. And I think, mm-hmm, something that you brought up and something that I really like is an artist that can be in a genre that they know has a history but exists genuinely. Like, mm-hmm, like, I think, like, Jaden Smith is, like, a great example because, like, his albums are fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Are they?
Yeah.
Ooh, I okay.
He's Smith very talented. I haven't dug in too much of his
stuff. Yeah, it's fantastic.
But,
like, hip-hop music, it's so good. Mm-hmm. But you know he's, like, he's super rich, like, and he's, uh-huh, there's never time where he's like, I'm from the hood, things are rough. He's like, no, I just really like hip-hop music as, yeah, a genre, and I'm going to respect that, but also just, like, do a good job. He has a song where he's just talking about Dragon Ball Z, and I'm just like, this is fantastic. Like,
that's great.
This is how it should be.
I had to get a rental car in December, and I remember I was syncing my phone to the car, and a song came on, and I was like, who is this? This is actually really good. And it was Willow Smith.
Oh.
The rest of the, yeah, album leaves a little to be desired. I don't know. She's trying to do a lot, and someone, I don't know, there should have been someone in the production that reined it in. But there were a few songs. She had one called Wait a Minute, and I was like, this is really good. And now I have to give, I forgot to give Jaden a shot. Because he was also in Skate Kitchen, a movie I love that came out last year, and was great in that.
I mean, they're both, from what I've seen, and I'm sure they'll keep putting on new stuff, but, like, from the little bit I've seen when they were younger, they're both very talented.
Yeah.
Obviously, and they're given an environment to grow that talent, for sure, I'm sure. So, yeah, I'm sure it'll only get better. But,
well, they're,
yeah,
also very, like, you know, like, the way they dress, and they really, like, try to, like, have a positive platform on all levels, I feel like.
Yeah. 'Cause
they play a lot with gender, mm-hmm, you know, and not once have their parents ever been like, we don't support this, or no, or that's them. They're doing, yeah, their thing. They're like, whatever they want to, yeah, do, they can do.
There was that, do you guys remember there was, like, a New York Times article a while ago, over 5 years ago, with Jaden and Willow, and it was, like, an interview. I think it was New York Times, but it came off so, like, and, like, it was, like, they're, because they're kind of Scientologists, I think, and they're homeschooled and whatever, and I don't know what they're taught. I'm sure.
Oh, I do remember this. It came off very,
was very culty.
Yes.
It was so, like, it was kind of cool because some of the stuff they were saying was, like, interesting. They're like, what do we know really, like, you know, the Earth and the universe? But then when you look at it and you're like, oh, their parents donate to Scientology, you're like, okay, there's some weird alien stuff, like, that they, I don't know if they've gotten more in touch with reality, but at that time, mm-hmm, the interview read as, like, wow, they're so out of touch with what the human experience is.
Yeah. Like, I think it's different now, just because, like, they have a show on Facebook Watch called Red Table Talk, and,
yeah,
it's, like, the only show that's worth anything.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I know the show you're talking about. Yeah, 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 that's the one where Jada hosts it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Cool.
It's just, like, they sit around this red table and they literally just talk. It's pretty much like a podcast. But
okay, yes, yeah. I've seen references to that.
Because that's where she started dispelling, like, she's like, my husband and I are not swingers. Mm-hmm. We're not, like, she had to, like,
she's like, we're not Scientologists. Like,
yeah, they're,
like,
not, okay.
Dabbled.
Where did,
like,
that?
They said that they like looked into it because they were like, what, mm-hmm, is this? Like, any other,
yeah,
person, like, looking for any kind of, like, religious,
yeah,
something.
They're, like, powerful enough then to get out of it, because maybe they were, yeah, more in it than they say.
Well, they probably didn't give enough on their e-meter, whatever that is, to get bribed. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she brought Leah Remini on the show so they can talk about it. And, like, they,
that's,
like,
cool.
Had just, like, a very transparent conversation.
Oh, good. I gotta watch that.
This is, because she said, like, it was Scientology, like, they want famous people. And so even if they were like, oh, we just want to see what this is because so many of our friends are doing it. Like, this is just, like, a new thing.
Yeah.
And Scientology was like, we're going to get them. And they're like, we are just seeing what this is.
Oh,
and
wow.
And so they were like, yeah, no, we don't actually want to do this. And once they were like, oh, let's see what this is. And then they once they saw, they were like, oh, this isn't actually bringing us what we're seeking out of a religious.
Oh, I stand corrected. I got to check that out.
Do you ever, I don't know if you guys ever listened to this, but there was, before Harris Whittles passed away, he did an interview. I think it was, yeah, he was on You Made It Weird and talked very openly about his heroin addiction. And one thing he mentioned was he went to the Church of Scientology, but it was kind of like a bit. But then it had more to, it wasn't for a bit. Someone else had done it as a bit. He did it because he was dating someone who was a Scientologist. And she was like, we can get you sober. And he gave him like $700. He was almost there. And then he literally just left. He got up and left because he was like, if I didn't leave at that point, that would have been like the point of no return. So I'm curious. It really makes me curious as to like, and he referenced something similar where he's like, well, I'm, you know, he's not a celebrity at the level of Will Smith, but he is someone with like, at the time had some clout there. And so I do wonder what the experience was for two very successful people that like Will and Jada, where they could just walk in and walk out. They probably had that power, or they had the meeting on their terms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Rather than going to like the Celebrity Center. Also, why is it called the Celebrity Center? You know what I mean? That should be the first red flag.
So bizarre.
So let's talk about NASA.
Yes,
speaking of Scientology,
us.
I guess.
I know. Space.
We can tie
about going
a little.
Space.
This is one of, so wait, about Thank You Next, well, and Sweetener, how do you feel about both of those albums and like just overall?
I like Sweetener a lot. I thought Sweetener was, I felt like it felt like her for some reason. Like I felt like I was like, oh, some of these songs are weird. Like it felt more all over the place, but in a good way. I've been like, oh, this is just her just like exploring music. Even her using like certain, like references like Good Night and Go. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that was a great
original song. So I really liked it. And then when Seven Rings, what is it? Thank You Next came out. I liked it, but it had to like grow on me. Because I was like,
oh, interesting. Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, if I was like, what are your intentions with this?
Because yeah.
It came out so quick. I'm like, what are you trying to do? Like, why are you, like, why did you put this out?
Yeah.
Oh,
I was very curious about, like, why are you doing this? Like, Sweetener felt like it had like a purpose. It was like, this is a studio album that I'm putting out. And
Thank
You Next was like, this is here.
Yeah.
And I was like, what
She's
is
like,
this?
I have to put content out. I do like a lot of songs on Thank You Next, but I can see what you're saying. Yeah, for sure. The timing of it, and definitely was like capitalizing on some sort of like buzz that she had.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. It didn't feel as like genuine. Like that's just like a thing that in my head I made up and be like, this feels like it a bit. like not like
oh,
a bit.
I get,
just
no, I
like,
get what you're saying.
I
yeah.
can do this just because I can.
Yeah.
And I was like, how much of you did you actually put into this? Or was this just like a stunt? I've been like, I can do this because I'm Ariana Grande. Like, this is what I'm doing now.
I do think, the longer the album, both albums are out, it does, there is an interesting, like, I wonder with, I used to think this about Sweetener. I was like, it's crazy that album was put out. Like the songs were in production for that like 6 months after Dangerous Women came out, like some of them were written way back, and some of them only fit in context of the album. Our favorite least favorite song on there is Blazed. It's like a weird song, but if you listen to it as just letting the whole album ride, it's great. I think it's super fun, but it Pharrell did a lot of good work on there, but there's some weird little things that he puts in there that you remember in REM?
Oh yeah, with I Can Make Her Stay or whatever that.
Well, yeah, do you know what we're talking about in REM where she's like, you know how to beat it, you know how to eat it, and suddenly Pharrell just goes, I know how to keep it.
Oh yeah,
and we're like, what the fuck?
What's happening?
Which was originally written for Beyonce.
Yeah, that was a Beyonce track.
Oh
yeah, which is crazy, and it has like kind of that. It like you can picture Beyonce singing it.
I could totally see it.
It has the same. It's just it like the notes I think would be the same. It's just the music would be different. Like where she hits her high notes and where she would. I also think that with Sweetener, looking back at it too, I'm like, you know what? I bet some of these songs, like obviously Pete Davidson, the song was recorded 20 minutes before the album came out. But like, I also think that a few of those tracks had some. I don't know. I don't think the album is as calculated anymore. I was like, oh, they must have, I feel like six of these songs were written like 2 years before they came out. And the other ones, they were like, well, we need to change this to kind of fit your current situation or something.
But I like that because it feels to me, but I know what you're saying, because it almost feels like it's like when you're working on a joke and you kind of like get, like you're writing a notebook and the first time you go up on mic, you're like, it's pretty good. Like, it's almost,
yeah,
it's almost cooked. And then you're just like, I'll just do that. And then you're like, and then you're like, it's ready. But you like in the back of your head, it's like, oh, I'm really ready. But then like 2 years from then, you're like, oh, let's go back and look at it. And then you add a new tag or whatever. And then it really tightens up. That's what it feels like. It's like, it's pretty good. I mean, I really like this album. And I do think it's got that honest appeal, which you would have with something like, you know, you write because you're writing from the heart and it's honest.
Oh, sure.
But it's not... I could see that it doesn't feel done because it's like maybe more time would have made it like polished. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like the songs that everyone loves, Would You Love to Ghostin? I do like, but I don't, that one to me feels like one that's like, I'm going to put a little note out there. I'm just going to float it out there. And it's very honest and it's coming from a real place. But I feel like there's a different version of that song. That
yes, that's exist. How I feel. It feels like, it feels like really, really good first drafts. Like,
yeah.
But like not in, like, in a way of like, these are songs, like this is going to do well. But if you just like sat on it a couple of months, you would be like, oh, I just think differently about things. And then you just like go back and just be like, okay, like what? Because it feels like she, like the optics of it is like she was going through all of this stuff. And then it feels like she was like, well, I have to put all of my pain into music. So it almost felt like I was like experiencing like this therapy with her that I didn't ask for.
Yeah. I'm
like,
I didn't. She hasn't gotten out of it. That's like, she's still feeling the pain, and so it's like there's not enough time for her to reflect.
It feels kind of weird.
Yeah,
like, I'm like, you can't do some of these songs on stage without crying. That's like a lot to put on people that don't know you personally. Like, this is her pain. Like, I'm not asking. Like,
it is.
There's not enough space for it to be to feel like art without like something attached to it. So sometimes when I listen to these songs, I'm like, what the fuck was she going through?
But to play devil's advocate, I think when we were growing up, it was a different time. Now with influencer culture and like YouTube and live streaming, I do kind of think that is what people want. They want that instantaneous quote unquote authenticity. Because I don't really think that you have to be quick to be authentic. Obviously, an artist who takes like 10 years to put out his life's work really understands what he's putting out there, and that is very authentic as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was years ago. Now, I do think there's this quality of quickness that people equate to more honesty. Whether or not that's true, but I think it sells, because I think the audience thinks, you know, with live streaming, they literally want to see you have a breakdown. Not really because they want it, but like, that's what they want to see. They want to see you in real time update your fans. Like, hey, guys, I'm taking a break from YouTube because I'm not feeling good. And then they want to be like, I hope you feel better. And then when you come back, they're like, she's better. Like, they don't want you to 3 months later be like, last year I dealt with this thing that I'm ready to share. No, they want to know.
Because they want to feel like they're
step-by-step update.
What's truly wild about that, too, is when people put out, because here's the thing about Sweetener, it is a great album. But now that you put it that way, I just realized, I'm like, you know, because when a lot of people put out content, like influencers doing that, they do put out these things where they're like, you know, there was this period where they're like, oh, everything's great. You guys should, you know, they're giving some kind of advice, and then they release their version of Thank You Next. I couldn't think of another way to put it, but like, you know, something where they're like, listen, there was this period. And you go back and you're like, so when you're watching that other stuff, you mean you were actually miserable. So it is kind of funny that Sweetener is this album that has these like very happy tones to it. And then you're like, and then she's like, well, Thank You Next is actually what was going on while Sweetener was being recorded. It's almost like she's like revising her own album.
It's the B-side.
Does that make sense? Like,
well, yes and no, because I don't know that she wasn't actually happy. I think that more stuff happened after Sweetener came out.
No, I agree. I guess what I mean more is it was just more to your point of like when you were saying playing devil's advocate on like giving instantaneous thing. It is an interesting thing where like it is a weird... Because Sweetener is also a dark album in terms of she talks a lot about Manchester and a lot about dealing the on and off, or the at least the intensity of the Mac Miller relationship. And so I'm like, oh, I guess, yeah, that Thank You Next was kind of like doubling down on that part of the equation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm now seeing this in like a deeper way, because I'm like, that is nice that an artist can be like, this is the way I create art. Like, this is my personal life. This is the art that instantly reflects my actual current like life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very nice on like a certain level. And then on the other side, I think I'm just like a getting old and just uh-huh. like, keep that to yourself, honey. Like, no, I don't want to know all this. Like, I just want to listen to this music. Like, oh, what beautiful tones. But,
right.
Well, but like, yeah. I do think it's very dope that she can create art that is like instantaneous for her.
Well, the Instagram is a big part of her fandom, like her updating Instagram stories. And that does take away from giving any time to reflect, because it's literally like she'll be like, I'm here on a roof. I'm hanging out with my friend. And people will be like with the seven rings, the day she bought rings for all her friends. Like,
that's
there
right.
couldn't have been that much time that went by between that and seven rings, because everyone knew the story. So she kind of jumped on it.
I honestly think they wrote seven rings first and then she posted that picture later. Like, that was the marketing. That was my thought. I was like, there's no way, because something I realized was, and this is going to come up, this is actually perfect tying back to NASA. One of the things that the way that song was originally teased is it showed up in the video for Breathin'. If you remember in the video for Breathin', she's in this train station by herself singing while people are passing her by. And then there's like on the wall, there's the station stops and departure times. And they're all songs for what's coming up on Thank You Next.
Oh. That's crazy.
It's wild. And NASA was one of them. Needy was another. And then in the Seven Rings video, NASA's also spray painted on the car. So that's like, Seven Rings, by the way, is a song that when it first came out, I was like, I like it. And then the less I watch the music video, like as long as I don't think about the, because the music video, I've come to terms with it. It's not good.
No, it's a bad music video.
It doesn't read as any kind of empowerment to me either. Because at first I was like, oh, I guess she's trying to like subvert the idea of like, if this was a dude with his fellas, like this would be them, you know, having a blast. You see that in videos all the time, but it doesn't translate the way I think she thinks it translates.
It doesn't. Also, the entire video is a reference to a 2 Chainz video, so it has like an actual reference point. Like that trap house is the exact trap house used in 2 Chainz's video.
Oh,
and that's why they do the whole remix. There was a whole thing.
That's
where,
right. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know the remix.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some like musical things that make Ariana Grande seem a bit shady, like in terms of like references and like her using samples and giving credit. And so when she did the video for Seven Rings, she only 2 Chainz was only a feature because he was like, yo, you didn't tell me you were going to use any of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
This is my like intellectual property that you just like visually took. And so she was like, oh, wow. I thought you would have no, like, I'm sorry. And then she was like, well, we'll just do a remix together because that makes sense.
And that's for him. He's like, well, this will give this. Like, right. Yeah. And then he put her on one of his tracks, which is funny. We already kind of talked about this on another episode, but that verse that she sings on it clearly is meant for someone else, R&B singer that is not Ariana Grande. Do you know what I mean? It's a very low key, easy to like, not an easy to sing part, but something that like you would just, I can think of 5 other people who would kind of be in line.
It's
before.
Funny because like that verse is also a sample from another song, from a 2000 song from A. Marie.
Dang.
Yeah.
Should we listen to NASA?
Yeah. Pull it up, and I'm gonna pull up the notes.
All right, here we go.
Love that opening. That's my favorite part. When she does that at the concert, I'm going to lose my mind. When she says, because she's going to turn that mic right to the audience and everybody's going to be allowed to scream it. Yeah. And I cannot wait to scream it back at her.
Do you think she has any like deal with like the brand?
With NASA?
Yeah.
I think she's on the verge of, if she hasn't yet. Oh, you know what? I think she does, because she did at Coachella, she had NASA merch. specifically for Coachella.
Huh.
Is the same NASA merch that's in like Urban Outfitters, is that actually by the actual like NASA people? Or
funny,
is that, like,
you should ask that. I was at Urban Outfitters this morning and I looked at the tags to see if, and it looks like it's a licensed image.
Yeah.
But it's not. I was like, oh, is this maybe Ari merch that's being maybe from Coachella? And then I looked it up and they're two totally different.
Oh, yeah. Because like I know like NASA like as a brand has become very popular with just like urban culture wear.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know if it was just like a brand using NASA's image or if it was actually NASA being like, let's do fashion now.
No, I think also because it's like licensed, but also I think NASA, I'm sure they hopefully make money out of it, but technically images from NASA are all available publicly and you can, it's like rights free. Not for commercial, but I wonder how that works with commercial.
Yeah, the imagery, that's a good question.
Like,
yeah,
you can go on NASA website and download a picture of whatever, Mars or the moon, and you're allowed to print it and put it up in your room or whatever.
Right, but that's not the NASA logo. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
so I think my guess is, from what I saw, that it didn't have a NASA, the tag looked like it was a fashion company, but it had to have been licensed. There's no way it couldn't have been. But I think that, and I've seen what Ariana's merch looks like from Coachella. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see if any of it's going to be left over for the tour, but it's like a long sleeve pink. It was very expensive. I think it was like $70. And it like has the Shangela quote on the front and like on the sleeves or stuff. It's a very, I do kind of want it. I'll be honest. There's a lot of her merch that I want to pay for, but I cannot.
Yeah.
And I also feel like the stuff that, it's funny because I bought a shirt from Urban Outfitters, an Ariana shirt. I haven't seen any lately, so I'm wondering if they're just waiting for tour to end.
Maybe, yeah.
Because I feel like she should be all over that store. That's my only take on that. So let's go through the song credits really quick and just a little tidbits. So the song was written by Grande, Victoria Monet, Taylor Parks, Tommy Brown, and Charles Anderson. This is the same group that worked on Needy, the song right before it. And I love that there's a song about being needy and then a song about needing space back to back.
Yay.
The ultimate containing multitudes track order. And it was produced by Tommy Brown and Charles Anderson, this album is basically, what's so funny about Sweetener is that was split between Pharrell and a few Swedish producers that she works with, Max Martin and Ilya. And then Pharrell was on a few, and then Tommy Brown and Victoria Monet helped write a few of the songs as well. This album is exclusively this group and the Swedish producers. Like, that is literally the split between the two. And this is the first time you can't tell the difference between the tracks, in my opinion. I suppose the ones by Max Martin and that team do have a little more production to it.
Yeah.
Like, because Needy's a very low-key track. I mean, that literally has just a background. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And NASA has a little more production, but it is also a much like simpler song. Like, it's essentially a minute, and then it loops itself into another minute and a half or 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the track features a spoken introduction by Shangela, an American drag queen. She says, "One small step for woman, one giant leap for womankind." A variation on Neil Armstrong's quote. And Ariana revealed on the Zach Sang show that the original opening was a countdown. And she decided to change the opening when Shangela visited her in the studio and randomly said the phrase. Shangela said of the Origins, "The song was amazing. And when the song ended, she was like, 'What do you think?' And I was like, 'Oh, girl, I live it. I love it. And it's amazing. I'm already thinking of how I'm going to perform it for my drag number when I do my version.' And she looked at me and said, 'Your version?' And I said, 'I'm just going to put in a fun intro on it for drag, and I'm going to be in a spacesuit with space titties, and I'm going to come out in a moon man suit, and I'm going to be lifting the mask and say, this is one small step for woman, one giant leap for womankind.' And I was like, 'Oh my God, I love that.'"
But do you believe that? No, I'm like, not knowing all that about Ari, I'm like, no, she made up the story so that she could say that. No.
Yeah, and like, part of me, like, I want all of this to be true, because this is how I envision like fame, of being like, oh, you just have access to do things that normal people can't off the cuff.
Sure.
So I'm like thinking, like, if I had the resources and the talent to just be like, I just want to make an album right now, would I do it? And the fact that like you could do that is appealing. And so just being like, well, I can just put out a whole ass album right now because I can.
Yeah.
Like, that is something that I'd be like, I'd do that. just to be like, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't, exactly. And like, I do picture when it's happening, it's not as whimsical as we're picturing it because we're making in our head, it's theater, you know what I mean? But I do picture them in the studio just, she's like, oh, I would love to do this and say like one small step for women, one giant step for womankind. And then somebody, they like broke for lunch and they came back like, what would you think if we use that? You know what I mean? Like I picture it being a lot more like just real boring in between going to like Jersey Mike's.
That's nice of you to think she would ask. I think it was more like Shangela said this and then Aria's like, that's so great. I'm taking that. And then, like, but like, I'm doing you a favor, you know, that kind of thing.
You think
mentality.
It's that? You think it's.
I don't feel like she thinks she's taking stuff. I think she's like, oh my God, I love that. I'm going to put that in and that's going to be good for you. Like, that, I think that's her mentality when she does stuff. I don't
that
think
explains
she's like,
all the appropriation.
You know what I mean, though? Like, I don't mean like she's like totally evil, obviously, through and
no,
through.
No, I do know what you mean, though.
I think she has popular girl mentality. When popular girls decide to make you their little project or give you a makeover or invite you to hang out with their group before the dance. They're not like asking you. They're like, oh, you get to sit with me. This is great for you. Like, that's what they think. And in a way, they're not wrong. You know what I mean? Like, there's benefits to being in an Ari song for sure.
Yeah.
But I think she's not coming at it from like, hey, what do you think about if I did this? But I don't know. These are just presumptions based on how she acts in other ways.
I don't think you're that far off. Yeah.
Yeah. That feels realistic. I would hope that she isn't like that because I'd be like, damn, somebody got to stop her.
I had a long conversation recently about this with another comic. I don't remember where it was, but we were just talking about like there is a certain level of fame and wealth, and I don't know what the number is, but it's at a certain point, it's you're a machine that cannot be stopped. And because nobody – who's gonna tell someone in their 20s, to slow the fuck down in a way, aside from her parents, well, in this case, her mother, there's no one else I don't think she would listen to in that way. I feel like if anyone was like, what are you doing? Like, you need to, the way you're going through and, you know, chewing people up, spitting them out, whatever it is that they think, you know, because I feel like Lady Gaga never went away, so to speak of, but I do think from the period that she did art pop until A Star Is Born, the pendulum did swing a little the other way for her because people were like, well, what are you doing? You put out a song with R. Kelly. You, you know, Born This Way has a lot of problematic lyrics. It did not age well. And I think, whether or not all that stuff at the time, how much of that's her responsibility, I do think I'm like, you know what? Who at the time was going to stop her? You know, I don't think there's any other way she would learn it.
Yeah.
That's also, by the way, not in defense of. I just think that when you're at a certain point, nothing's going to register until there's a PR consequence or a financial consequence.
Well, that's what happens when you get so big so early. I mean, like, yes, I don't want to. Obviously, she was working for a long time, but in the relative scheme of things, Lady Gaga blew up really fast in the period, like in the period of time between her first album and like winning Grammys and getting super super famous. There wasn't that much time, so that meant she had to like. Keep elevating herself as an artist and pushing herself maybe not organically around that time. I feel like there was a lot of, let me take out everything I want to do and put it out now.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Which then makes you do stuff like that where it's like, are you really learning the lesson before you put it out? Like you're talking about, like, are you learning the lesson before you put it out for the world to see, or are you trying to learn it with the world? And it's like at that level, when you're that famous, like everything's going to be picked apart, so you don't really get the luxury of making those mistakes.
And that's exclusive. Yes. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I'm just saying I think Beyonce is like a great person of that like mindset of being like, oh, she goes through stuff, but you don't see it until it's a finished product.
Yeah.
She's like, this is exactly what I want you to know from this thing that I've been through. And there's something so powerful about that because you do get that sense of like, oh, she is like us. But also, like us, she is private.
Yeah,
and it never feels like when
it feels
she
like a gift instead of just like blah.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I'm so glad you brought that up because I think about that too. Where I'm like, well, she, whatever's going on, she works it all out, and then like also doesn't. None of it feels like she's doing anything out of obligation. Like you know, anything she's like. When she talks, I haven't finished Homecoming yet, but I know where she talks about like what she wanted to feature, and she's like, well, a lot of things are African iconography and you know things about my heritage. None of that feels like she's like checking a box.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is what I want my art to be and what I want it to represent. And I think because she was the first person to really do the album drop in a way that hadn't been done before, that you didn't have a say in whether you thought this was going to be a good move or a bad move. It already, the album's here, and so is every single music video for it. So do you like it or do you not like it? Whereas I also think that I'm going to almost flip it here for a second. And like what we're talking about, Lady Gaga or anyone, actually a great example on the other end of that would be like Drake, where he has this like prolific amount of work. But I'm like, aren't you going to go take a little time? Like, you know, yeah. I mean, Scorpion's a double album. And in between that and like, how many mixtapes did he drop before that? And how many? It's like, it's crazy.
It's like the audacity. Yeah. You think I'm going to listen to all of this? This is so much music. Relax.
You have to experience life. But like, Ariana arguably did experience more life in a couple of years than the like average pace. So like that to me was like maybe an argument for putting out work sooner than you would expect. Like I know Yves Saint Laurent used to talk about when he would make for his like clothing lines every year he would take a trip and try to experience something new before he even sat down and like started illustrating or deciding what he wanted the collection to be. And I remember that like resonated with me because it's like as an artist you should be living life anyways, but when you're so famous and your work is like your whole life is around your work and the next collection and everyone's like waiting for the next album or next hit and there's all this pressure, you do kind of forget to experience life because you're like, all right, what's it going to be? And then you're like digging through your past, like, all right, what can I use? So it is important to just be like, I'm just going to go live and like experience and see and hear and like learn and then come back and be like, trust that I have the artistic instinct to like process that and put that into
work. It's crazy because like I feel like the only medium that's suited more to like being allowed to step outside yourself or maybe I feel like movies are the only ones where you can get around that. But I feel like with art, especially music and anything that really any other art form, you do have to have that reflective period. I think with movies, if you're not, I don't know, if you can't come up with something about whatever it is you're trying that you're internalizing at the moment, you could literally just write an action movie about whatever or a horror movie about this thing and there's still subtext to it, but it's a lot more like I think because movies work on a subconscious level, whereas songs I worry this is the I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but the closest I get to it, I do think like songs have more of a and we should do a mini-sode about this. I just realized there's a thing that came out recently, and I think it's called the Scotch Step, and I could be wrong about that, but there is apparently a beat. Somebody, it wasn't even a defense of Seven Rings, and I'll find it and just send it to you guys before we even get into this other episode about it, but it's about how there are certain beats that are used that almost every major song you've heard of now uses it. Like, it's not, things look more complex than they are, but it's the only, where I'm like, oh, maybe it is like that Josie and the Pussycats thing where they're like controlling, like trying to get in there. Like
no,
I said,
it's brainwaves move on a certain level. Yeah. We're all made of certain vibrations and music is just vibrations. So there's going to be patterns that we fall into for sure.
Yeah. They did make a point of being like, well, everyone's getting mad at Seven Rings and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, don't forget, here's a bunch of songs that just came out and used it. And I think they showed like a slowed down version of Nice for What and like all these songs. So I can't believe I just brought that up and like I want to like research the fuck out of it.
What else do we say about NASA? I really like this song, by the way. This is one of my favorites. So I really like the message. It's about it's to be okay to, especially when you're in a relationship or close with someone, it's okay to push someone away, not because you're pushing them, but because you want to set boundaries. It's like all about boundaries to me.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't agree more.
And I read it as a song about fame. Because it's the line, like, you know, I'm a star, like, I'm famous.
Ooh,
like,
yeah.
I need space
because
I'm literally famous. Like, I'm so famous. Why would you think I wouldn't need time by myself? And I saw it as like a lesson, as like the levels that I want to reach success wise. I'm like, oh, I am comparing this to like imagining like me being famous and being like, I need time without people. Like, that just makes sense. So, because similar to like, Ellen just put out a comedy special and it's all about how rich she is. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was the funniest shit because I'm like, I want famous people to talk about their lives. Like, if you're famous, you're not going to pretend like you're not famous. So I want you to talk about it because I'm like, what is different about your life than mine? So I just saw it as like her being like, no, like I'm a star.
That's in my queue for that reason. The Ellen special. Relatable. I'm like very curious to see it because I'm like, I do want to see how a rich person really, because I don't like the way Seinfeld presents it. It's like, yeah, I own a bunch of cars and I'm really famous and that's just part of the job. And you know what? I'm going to talk about how going to the doctor's office and putting on a gown's weird. And I'm like, yeah, that's, you're really ignoring a big part of.
Yes. And that's weird.
It is weird.
I like, do you guys know Jenny Mollin?
Yeah.
She's Jason Biggs' wife, mm-hmm. and she's a really funny writer, and she writes about, very truthfully, she's not like Ellen famous or rich, but she, you know, has a rich lifestyle, and LA rich housewife mommy. But in her book, she'll talk about, like, she's like not, you know, she's very open. She'll talk about, like, but she'll talk about how she wanted to get a Birkin bag for her housekeeper because she wanted her housekeeper, who was friends with another housekeeper with a more famous boss, to, like, talk about her in a good way. But she's like, I don't want to get a real Birkin bag because Birkin bags are very expensive. And that she's like, even that's excessive. So she got her fake one. But even that's still very expensive. So it's a whole, but she talks like the whole world. I'm like, this is cool because I would never understand this world. Yeah. I would never be in this. But there's funny moments in it that even me, who feels like, you know, if I could take a step back and not be like jealous of the world or whatever, just be like, here's a person. And there's funny things in her life that I would not be able to experience if she didn't tell me about them, and hearing about them delights me. You know, so it's like fun to hear that and not be ashamed. Like, obviously there's wealth gaps and there's a myriad of problems we should solve on a structural level, but in the meantime, let's have some stories, you know. It's fun to hear about that.
That's very self-reflexive, whereas like that's why I think also a lot of people get joy out of like Real Housewives.
Yeah, but people get scared, and rightfully, because they feel ashamed for their life. But if you're gonna live like that, then live like that and try to do what good you can. But like, if you're ashamed, if you're hiding it and doing that, that's wrong. Because then you're like just lying to yourself, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like everything is pretty relative, like outside of like normal thought of being like, oh, billionaires, y'all got too much money. Like, y'all should actually share that.
Yeah.
Like, even like the lifestyle I have now versus like the people that I grew up with and being like, oh, like, some of my family think I'm, like, out here just, like, rich and famous. And I'm like, girl, no, I'm not. Uh-huh. But, like, even to, like, tell them some of the things that I'm going through, they're like, this is a world that is, like, unreal. Like, you live an alien life. And, and I'm like, that's crazy. And then I, like, look at these, like, actually famous people. And I'm like, no, you live an alien life.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's all relative. So it is nice to just, like, see rich and famous people just say like, yeah, I'm rich and famous. Let's talk about it. And that's what I thought about NASA. Like, I saw that, like, oh, relationships. But I was like, this is more fun if she's just being literal, being like, I'm a star, get away from me.
I like that interpretation because I don't know. I used to, like, I think my sister said this, but I'm sure someone else said it before. But the idea of like, don't dim your light, or don't dim your shine for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a thing that I think, especially in our industry where we're like starting to coming up and things are changing constantly, where your like level and of success is changing very quickly. You might run into people who, like, you know, react to that in a way where they want you to dim your light. Maybe not like so blatantly, but that's how it feels, right?
Yes.
So I think it's important to be like, you're not actually hurting someone. You're not betraying them if you let yourself shine. It's not really that you're saying that they're worse than you, but sometimes you have a moment. Sometimes other people have their moment, and you just got to let them shine, and then you got to shine, because
100% I agree.
Yeah. But then also it is isolating. So that's the other side of it. When you're shining like a star, like, you know, Ariana says, like, you're alone and far away from everyone else, but you come back, right? You'll come back down, but you got to let yourself go there.
Everything,
because how
orbiting.
Else are you going to know? Like, right.
Funny. Yeah.
I think, thankfully, I think this is starting to go the other way a little in comedy. I hope I'm not being naive in saying this, but like, I just, from my friends in stand up we have the same friends and we have a lot of mutual friends as well. But I do feel like when someone does post a good piece of good news, or even when you're talking in groups now, people are more supportive and they don't dim the light. Whereas I feel like I'm aware that there are people who don't handle that well and are shitty about it. But I think that's par for the course in any industry.
It means you're surrounding yourself with better people, because I think people are still like that overall, but I think you're surrounding yourself with better people.
Yes, because I would say, just in terms of like my stand-up career, like this passage of stand-up, I've never met more supportive people. Like, most people don't know how long I've been doing stand-up, because I don't tell people.
Uh-huh.
But it's a very short amount of time. And I've only been successful because people have seen me and been like, you're good. Come do this thing.
Yeah.
And it was just somebody being like, oh, no, like, I really like, I like you.
Yeah.
And that's how I've progressed strictly because people were just supportive. And I didn't know that I would enter this sphere because I come from like an improv sketch background. So when I started doing stand up, I was like, the only thing I know about stand up is everybody's crazy and mean. I was like, everybody is so lovely.
Yeah. And you started in New York, right? So I think there's that says speaks even more to what we're talking about.
Well, I did like a couple shows in Chicago because it's like where I just people knew me. And then when I moved to New York, I was like, now I'm only going to do stand up. And that's when people were like, who are you? You're new. Come over here.
Yeah.
And it was just like such a quick thing of them being like, we see the level of your talent and that's enough. We don't care where you're from, who you are. And it was just like such a shock. And it was fantastic. And I just found myself in spaces with those people. And I know the other people exist. But when I see that energy, I'm like, get away from
me. Yeah.
So it is about just like surrounding yourself with like dope people. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're just near emotional vampires, to use a pop culture term.
You gotta let people who have rockets go to space. And if you can't make it, sorry, I'm a star. You know? Get on board.
One thing we like to do before we wrap up is we go through the lyrics from genius.com because those annotations are out of control. So we're going to do a quick breakdown of it.
Dope.
I don't know how, do you go on genius.com often to like look up lyrics? Okay. So, the thing about the annotations for the lyrics on there is they are user submitted. So we're in literally like Wikipedia zone.
Oh
yeah. So wow. They're very fun.
This like some kind of expert.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're getting grad school level academia for the most simple lyrics.
Got it.
It's beautiful.
I love this. Maybe I'll start. Cause like I've gone decades thinking I know lyrics and I just make them up. And then I'd be that's what that is.
It started as rapgenius.com because most of it was just people referencing, you know, rap battles and who was insulting who or who was saying what in the lyric or what is this in reference to a Nike brand deal or, you know, whatever it was. And then genius.com was like, you know what? Let's just give all the lyrics.
Got it.
So do you want to start off?
Sure. You want to do all of these? Some of them are a little...
Some of them are repetitive.
All right, we'll go with, I'd rather be alone tonight. You can say I love you through the phone tonight. These lines are reminiscent of Soulja Boy's Kiss Me Through the Phone.
That's exactly what I thought of.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to kiss you, but I can't right now, so baby, kiss me through the phone. Kiss me through the phone. I'll see you later on. Kiss me through the phone. Kiss me through the phone. See you when I get home.
And then Ariana is saying that she needs space and that her man can express his love for her over the phone instead of in person. despite Ariana's love for her partner, she acknowledges that space is important for her. This is a demonstration of her newfound independence. Previously, she'd orbit around her partner, but now she's focusing on healing herself. I do think that that is a big thing with this song. I didn't paste it on here from the notes that I was looking up at Genius, but at one point someone did say, like they showed a tweet reply she did where someone was like, is this about... is this about a man or not? And she's like, yeah, it is. So I do think it's funny that if this is at all shade to Pete, which I don't think it is, I think it's just her being like, I'm getting better at being alone. I do think it's funny if it's at all shady to anybody, it's like, oh, you also jumps from relationship to relationship, so pump the brakes.
Yeah.
But I think it's more calling herself out than other people.
Yeah, I don't think it's shady at all. It's kind of, a lot of people take it personally when you're like, I need space. But really what you have to, if both people are going to therapy, they won't take it personally because boundaries is a big thing that comes up in therapy. But needing space just means like, hey, I know what I need and I'm going to ask for it. And I love you. And that's it. But if you take it the wrong way, it's usually because you're not checking in with what you need.
Yeah. Space is like a momentary thing. Like, that doesn't change the entire dynamic of the relationship.
And it's so important to ask for what you want. And also to help get people into that. Because we're not used to that. We're so used to trying to please others. And hoping that, you know, they get what they want. That if we all ask for what we want, then we're all going to get it more. But we have to reward each other for it. So, like... You know, it's something I work on when someone does a good job of doing that, I have to be like, thank you for doing that. so that they continue to do that.
I think what I've learned with boundaries is you have to like just instill them. And if, because I remember for me when I first started really putting, giving myself boundaries just outside of with all my relationships, friendships or mm-hmm. romantic or whatever, it felt funny for a bit. I didn't feel good about it. I was very anxious. And then I let it, I was like, you know what? I'll just feel anxious for however long that takes. And yeah. it sucked. It was a couple days that it felt that way. But I realized, I'm like, oh, I actually... just if you're firm about it and don't give people an option. I mean, you can obviously be open and flexible to things, but I've learned, I'm like, oh yeah, just doing your own boundaries, however you want to do them, is the only way you can have good boundaries.
It's a muscle. Yeah. You got to work it
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So the next lyric is, think I'm better off here all alone tonight. And by the way, there's a few ties to this to her previous work. This line is similar to lyrics from her August 2018 track, Better Off, from Sweetener, where she says, I'm better off without him. I'm better off here being a wild one, which is, oh, and then also she says, on the road a lot, had to keep it 1,000 so that I'm better off not being around you, which is the evolution we were talking about. Like she went from being very like on that album, this romantic thing where she's, well, this isn't a romantic track, but her being like, you know, I got to be on the road so I can be away from you. And then now she's like, I just need to be here alone tonight. Mm-hmm. That's a boundary. That's growing the fuck up.
Yeah, you don't need to put an obstacle between you to force the boundary. You can just ask for it mm-hmm. and just be like, I'm going to be at home. I'm a phone call away if something comes up. Like, yeah. I'm still here for you. You know what I mean?
I'm
like,
just here. You're yeah, there.
Just let me be. She says, it's like I'm the universe. You'll be NASA. Much like how most of the universe is a mystery to NASA, Ari believes that if she spends some time away from her man, she can be a mystery to him. Since its inception in 1968, okay, history, NASA has only explored an infinitesimal portion of the universe. This is because electromagnetic radiation or light from faraway galaxies and supernova has not yet reached Earth to allow NASA to use its tools to study it. NASA's photographic evidence of the universe extends only 13.2 billion miles as a result of the 1977 Voyager 1 mission. Ari similarly compares herself to the universe on the pre-chorus of July 2018's God is a Woman. And she says, yeah, and he see the universe when I'm the company. It's all in me.
That I did not realize. That's also like, I do like that she's like, calls herself the universe and him being NASA.
Dude,
like,
I wonder if this subconsciously, so I did mushrooms last night and I like felt like I was the universe and I'm like, maybe yeah, it's because of the song. Like I was like, I this is a normal thing with mushrooms. Also, Ariana did mushrooms with Pete. So maybe this is when she wrote this song. But I had this like vision that I was like Mother Nature and that I was like giving birth to everything around me. It was really cool.
God, I got to do mushrooms.
If this song is about Pete, then I think this is just her being like, hey, I'm more famous than you. I'm the universe. You're NASA. Like we are on different levels. Like we're just on like, I need space. Like you are a small institution trying to infiltrate all of my secrets. Oh,
that is, I mean, wow. that's, and truth be told, I know that is fucking.
I didn't know what I was saying until it was coming out of my mouth.
it was a solid riff, I have
was
to
like,
admit.
Ooh, I put a nice collection of words.
Well, it is a little bit like, you need me, I don't need you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think that's going to be, it's very interesting that she is in a position where it's very hard for her to date in a way where the other person would be the more famous person.
Yes. This is mm-hmm. a similar conversation I had about with a lot of people about why Beyonce didn't leave Jay-Z. And I was like, who else? Like on that level, like yeah. there's so much happening in her life that normal people cannot fathom. Mm-hmm. So if you were to be with somebody, you'd have to be with somebody who can understand you on that level. And there's not many people.
Yeah. Yeah, there aren't even other billionaires that Beyonce could date that would get what she's trying
such
to do.
Such a small pool.
Yeah, it is truly.
Yeah.
And like, and you know, I think Will and Jada Smith both said the same thing mm-hmm. where they were like, they were talking about, they're like, we've reached a point in our marriage where we have a very specific understanding. We also, who else are they, what are they going to go do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who are they possibly going to meet? And even though they're not at their like critical mass that they were at, say, in like the late 90s, early 2000s, they're still pretty fucking big.
Yeah, also they have like their like lives and business are like intertwined.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
They're like, yeah, we're a couple, but we're also like business partners. Like mm-hmm. we just have to like it. Their like Red Table Talk conversation. It was just talking about how their marriage has morphed into this thing that's not a marriage. It's just like a new thing. I've been like, yeah, we are now like life partners. Like,
yeah,
there's no way we can like, so we just have to do this. And they're like, yeah. And they figured it out.
That makes sense why, like, after Brad and Angelina broke up, he would go back with Jennifer. Because it's like,
wait, did they get back together?
There was a period of time. I don't know if they're actually staying together.
No, I don't think they're together.
But there was
now,
a period
though.
Of time, and it's like, that happens a lot with celebrities because you're so big, and then you're like, now I'm single, and you're like, oh shit, I'm Brad Pitt. And it's like, all right, well, Jennifer Aniston and I had a thing, so I guess we'll give that a shot again.
Fame is actually terrifying. Like, the idea of fame is every time I think about it, I'm like, that sounds isolating and terrifying.
Yeah,
I do think about that too, where I'm like, if you are after success, that's great. I do think if someone wants to actually be like a star, that's what they want. I'm like, something's wrong. Stay the fuck away from that person.
There is always Raya.
That's true. Oh man, that that's an interesting app because I've been told from people who are on it, it is a stark divide between people who are just trying to like get, you know, clearly date in the way that normal people date by using an app, and people who are clearly wishing they were on that side of the equation, who that's like funny. Made the cut. And I've had real weird conversations about Raya, and I don't know what the, if I was that famous, I don't know if I would get on there either. I think I would just, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You make a certain peace with yourself. I'm very good at, I can be solitary if I need to be. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
Like I come from such a small family that's not seen as like a, you know, I've still felt reciprocal with my friendships and relationships. So if I had to be alone for a little bit, it never felt lonely.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way I can put it. You know, only after maybe after like breakups did that feel that way. But I it is crazy that when I do look at people who are like, yeah, who wants to be famous in this period? The period where you used to be able to like keep everything at arm's length, that was the 90s and it's over.
Yes. I've had long conversations about like what level of fame, like what does fame mean and like all of that stuff. And I've come to a place where like, oh, I don't want to necessarily be famous. I just want a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
I want like access and resources.
You
like,
want what comes with it without
but
the,
I'm like, please don't ask me a question about my personal life. Like, I don't want you in my business. I just want like success. I want you to know my work.
Right. Right. Exactly. So one of the last, I guess we don't have to go through all of these, but, cause I was looking, I'm like, oh yeah, there's some, but, I guess because we kind of just talked about it with the chorus where she says, you know, give you the whole world. I'm going to need space. One thing I do want to say about the chorus that it does remind me of, you know, when she first debuted with Yours Truly, she got a lot of Mariah Carey comparisons. Mm-hmm. And this song actually reminds me of Mariah Carey as well, specifically the chorus. That's all. It has that like very, you know, I'm a star in space. Like when she says that, the way she sings it, it has, I don't know why. I just remember thinking when I first heard it, I'm like, oh, this has a Mariah Carey vibe. A lot more.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. It's a little more subdued, but it has that very like,
I mean, I think it's very similar. Have you heard Mariah Carey's last album?
Oh yeah.
Not yet.
Fantastic.
But so that's what everyone, so you've told me that, right?
Yes. I liked it.
There are songs like she has this song called Get the Fuck Out, which I just been like, get the fuck out. There's one song called No, where it's her just saying no.
Yeah.
She's just like, I don't want to do things anymore. No. And it's like the end is just her singing no in different languages. It is so funny.
And she wrote the whole thing. So mm-hmm. She still writes all her own music.
That's so funny because I remember when Meghan Trainor had that no song, I was like, this is awful. This is every time she put something out, I got really upset.
Right, because that song was about like guys or something.
Yeah, where she's like, "My name is No, my number is No, my sign is No," and I'm like, "This is bad."
Yeah, like that, like the and I think Mariah's Carey version is just like her being like, generally, like in life.
Yeah,
I just want to say no. Like, no, I'm not doing that. Not doing that. No.
Yeah. Well, that you know what that because the Meghan Trainor one and it felt like it went through the white feminism machine. Mm-hmm. Like it got churned out on like a little thing where I was just where she's just like, ladies, if someone's at the bar and just say no, and I'm like,
it's like I don't want somebody's point of view through the reference of something else.
Yeah.
Like similar to like I reached that point in comedy now where I love talking about like my perspective like being black, but I don't want to talk about being black and reference to whiteness.
Yeah.
I just want to talk about my ex. So like, so I don't want to hear a song from Meghan Trainor about saying no for men.
Yeah.
I want to hear you say no as a person to whatever you want to say no
to. It's super self-aware. It's like playing up to this like checkbox of like, this is popular now as opposed to like, what's your experience? And then we can like put that in. And if you have a lot of people with the same experience, then you can maybe be like, oh, maybe like men should take a look at what they're doing. But if you're just like, all ladies should say this to men, then it's like, is that genuine? Is that authentic? Or are you just trying to like shape a general opinion?
Yeah, it's just like very vague. It's like, this is just like zeitgeisty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 1000%. Exactly.
Yeah. Should we do High Ponytails?
Yeah, I think we should rate the song and do the High Ponytails. Go ahead.
Yeah, we end every podcast by rating the song on a scale of 1 to 5 High Ponytails. so I can go first. Actually, I really love this song, but after talking about it and listening to it, it's like okay now.
Really?
Me. Yeah,
that's interesting because the last two times we really
went up
the other way. Yeah.
So I'm gonna go with it's still a good song. So I'm gonna go with 4 ponytails.
I'm gonna go with 5 still. Okay. I love this song so much. It's the one. It's funny. I think Ghost and Needy are my favorite songs because they have the most. They're windows to me. Those songs are windows where I'm like, even though they're like bare productions, I literally like I'm like. This is very specific for her. If you were to give this to someone else, they would still be good songs, but they wouldn't pack the same punch. Mm-hmm. Like those songs are actually made better by their context. Mm-hmm. NASA to me though is the one I listen to the most because it's the most like it's just a great pop song that has like a lot of its influences of Mariah Carey and those things on its sleeve. So it's a full 5 from me.
What about you, Dwayne?
Yeah.
I would say 4, because I do like the song. I think it's like dope. I just remember my first time listening to it. I was annoyed in the way that she like spaced out words. Yeah. I first thought that she said, "You know, I'm a star space," and then I was like, "What the fuck is a star space?" And then I was like, "Oh, that's a different sentence." I will never forget that experience. But it's a good song. I like it.
Good. I mean, yeah. 4. Just to be clear, 4 High Ponytails is still a hell of an endorsement. Yeah.
It's also going to be my anthem when I'm famous.
Yeah.
Get away from me. I'm a star. Space.
I love that. It's so funny.
Well, Dwayne, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, guys. I love this girl.
This was so great. And where can we find you online?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Dwayne Perkins. That's DEWAYNE because there's another Dwayne Perkins, but he's like older. and then on Instagram, Dwayne K. Perkins, because there's a guy named Dwayne Perkins who would not give me his username.
Oh.
He is very old, and I think he may have passed.
Oh. Maybe not to get too in the dark comedy realm here, but maybe it'll deactivate at some point. Keep an eye.
There you go.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
And thank you for listening, everybody. Where you can find us at?
Pod is a woman.
On Instagram, excuse me. Yeah, that's 2 S's. And where can we find you, Teresa?
Oh, I'm at Larissa T on both Instagram and Twitter.
And I'm at Eli Olsberg on both as well. And we'll be back next week with Bloodline.
It's like I'm the universe and you'll be I'm a need space, I'm a need you.